Hello and God bless you. Thank you for returning to the School of the Prophets. And this is part one, session one, class two. And in this class, we're going to continue the foundational study on the School of the Prophets and what it means to be a prophet. And today we're going to be talking about loyalty. You know, you can't really serve anyone. You can't be trained under anyone and not be loyal. If we're not loyal to our leader and we're not loyal to God, you might as well get out of it right now. But let's talk about loyalty. In the dictionary, the word loyal means unswerving in allegiance. What does that mean? Number one, it means faithful allegiance to one's sovereign or government. Also, it means faithful to a private person to whom fidelity is due. Faithful to a cause, idea, or custom. The synonyms for are faithful, allegiance, devotion, dedication, constant, unwavering, steady, and unfailing. And so, you know, we have to be loyal to what God has called us. We have to be loyal to Him in that we're going to be loyal to those that God has called us to serve under while we're being trained and raised up in ministry. Is your leader perfect? Not by a long shot. But if that leader is endeavoring to serve God and endeavoring to lead right, follow whoever God puts you under as they follow Christ. Amen. Okay, so let's talk about this. You know, sometimes, well, let me back up a minute. Sometimes, you know, we can be faithful and loyal to, you know, I grew up in Michigan, so, you know, I'm a Wolverine, I'm a Michigander, you know, and, you know, we're faithful to what we believe in. We're loyal to the causes. You know, some people are loyal to organizations that they really believe in, you know, and we have to be loyal to God. We have to be loyal to the call. Now, I was reading in the Bible, and let's talk about some scriptures and see what the Bible says about being loyal. First of all, let's go to Proverbs 17:17. And this scripture talks about loyalty is unwavering in good times or bad. Let's read it. Okay, Proverbs 17:17, it says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, look at that. It says, a friend loveth at all times. That means no matter good or bad, right, wrong, or indifferent, that friend is going to love you at all times. And that's important. That's loyalty. You know, it's not based on what you can give me, what you have, how much money you have, or anything. And let's look at another scripture. Loyalty is what you do, not what you say. Many people out of their mouths, you know, can make a promise and make a vow. They don't keep it. People break vows and promises today like water running, literally. But what we have to be aware of is that loyalty is what we do. It's not just what we say. And I think we have gotten really, really far from that. Let's look at the scripture. And, you know, when I read this, it just really caused me to say, God, help me to be loyal to you and help me to do what I say and not just speak a thing, but really help me to do it. You know, and it's so important because here we see, turn to Matthew 26:33-35, and let's read that. And I'm going to give you a moment to get there. This is what Jesus was talking about at the supper, at the Lord's Supper. In verse, 26:33-35. Okay, let's see, 33, sorry. It says that, 33, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, will I not deny thee. Likewise, also all said all the disciples. Okay, so he was saying that I'm not going to deny you. I am not going to deny you. You know, I'll die with you. You know, you're my master. You're my Lord. And I am not going to deny you. But look at what happened over in chapter 26, later on down the passage, 26, and pick it up in 69, if you want to go there, verse 69. And it says, second, let me get there. I thought I had my page marker in here. Forgive me. It says, now Peter sat without, and this is after the crucifixion, in the place, or during the time of the crucifixion when he denied Jesus. It says, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him, that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew thrice. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. You know, loyalty, again, you know, we can say, oh, I'll be loyal to you to the end. I'll never betray you. You know, I'll never deny you or whatever. But you know what? Our actions have to line up with what we're saying. You know, another thing when we're talking about loyalty, it's really important to also know that loyalty has to be in our heart. It has to be in our heart. If you look at Psalm 78:8, it says, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. We want to make sure that we're not only loyalty when people are looking, but it has to be a heart thing. We have to be loyal in our heart as well. And that's really, really important to do that. You know, when you look at loyalty, in 2 Chronicles 11, 13 through 16, and let's turn there, and I'm just flipping through the pages as we're talking. That talks about 2 Chronicles 11, 13 through 16. That talks about loyalty will involve sacrifice. Now, you know, a lot of times what I've found, and I've been in ministry for a while, is that most people don't want to sacrifice anything if they're not getting anything out of the deal. And as a prophet, you have to come away from that thinking that every time you do something, you're going to get rewarded for it. Well, you know, he is our reward. He's the pearl of great price. Amen. And so everything that we do as unto the Lord. And it's not all about every time I do something for the kingdom or for somebody, I need to get something back. You know, I'm not getting anything back because look at all I've done. Well, you know, look at all that Jesus did. And that ought to really put us all in our place, huh? Okay, so let's look at this 2 Chronicles 11, 13 through 16. And it reads, and this is talking about when Rehoboam was prospering. And it says, and the priests and the Levites were all in Israel, resorted to him out of their, And the priests and the Levites that were in all Israel resorted to him out of all their coasts. For the Levites left their suburbs and their possessions and came to Judah and Jerusalem, for Jeroboam and his sons had cast them off from executing the priest's office unto the Lord. And he ordained him priest for the high places and for the devils and for the calves which he had made. And after them out of all the tribes of Israel, as set their hearts to seek the Lord of God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice unto the Lord the God their fathers. And so what is this saying? They came from where they were living. It was a sacrifice for them to go and make this sacrifice, because it says that they came out of the suburbs. They left the possessions. They came to Judah and Jerusalem, and they came. They just said, you know what? It's going to be a sacrifice, but I'm going to go sacrifice. I'm going to go do this. And it says in verse 16, and after them out of all the tribes of Israel, such as set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice unto the Lord God of their fathers. That means they just, you know what? I'm leaving. I'm out of here. Why? I have to go sacrifice unto the Lord. I need to go worship. And many times, you know, many people are not willing to give up their family, their friends, their stuff, their houses, their land, their cars, don't want to give up nothing to go to sacrifice for the Lord. But let me tell you something, loyalty in order, if you're going to be loyal to the call of God on your life, if you're going to be loyal to the Lord, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. And, you know, when you know, many people say, well, you know, I'm serving God and I'm just, you know, a lot of times people will try to tell you or say things to discourage you from doing what God has called you to do, because they're not there. They don't want to get there. They don't want to give anything up, and misery loves company. So you have to get from around people that are miserable. They're not serving God to their fullest potential. They don't intend to. Some people just want to serve God to miss hell. And that's just the bottom line. But as a prophet of God, you can't just serve God to miss hell. You are serving God with a purpose. And these foundational truths that you're getting, you know, is so important, because if you get the foundation now, by the time you get well into your ministry, into the years and years into your ministry, you'll have a foundation. You know, the Bible in Psalms, let me find that one. It talks about the tree planted by the rivers of living water. Let me get that for you real quick here. You know, because God gave me, he gave me some light on that. He helped me to understand that I need to be a tree planted by the rivers of the living water. And that's Psalms 1. I'm just going to read. I'll just read the whole thing because it's only six verses. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he shall doeth shall prosper. And I'm going to stop right there. And I just want to say that, you know, when trees are planted by water, their roots get real deep. Their roots go down. The foundation that the trees are digging into is a moist ground. It's a ground full of nutrients. It's by water where that tree can flourish and grow as tall as it needs to grow. The roots can go down as far as it needs to go to sustain the height of that tree. Somebody need to catch that. The roots that we are, that we need to have in the Word of God and in our foundation, they need to be deep, so that the higher you get, the more you grow in God, no matter if that wind blows. And you know, have you seen trees in the wind where it seems like they're blowing over and they're just like bending way over and the wind is just whipping them around? Why aren't they being uprooted? They're not being uprooted because their roots are so deep in the ground that whatever happens to the top of that tree, those roots are going to hold them in place. And that's what God wants us to have. As young prophets coming up in the ministry, God wants your foundational roots to be so deep you know, in the loyalty, in the, you know, obedience to him, in your character. You know, he wants those roots to be so deep that no matter what people say, what they do, if they come, if they go, if they stay, if they leave, your roots will be in the word. And they'll be in Christ. And so that's something that we really, really have to look at. And when you talk about, you know, loyalty, the Bible says that loyalty will be rewarded. Some people don't want to stick around for the reward because nowadays we are in what we call a microwave generation where if I tithe on Sunday, by the time I leave the church, I need somebody hitting my hand with a double blessing. You know, just be honest. A lot of people think that way. If I give, God need to give it back to me right away. Not so. God is sovereign. He does what he wants to. So our loyalty to God will be rewarded. Turn in your Bibles to Psalms 84, 10 through 11. And it says, for a day in the court, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So if I'm loyal to God, I'm walking upright before him. The Bible says that he's not going to withhold any good thing from us. But I believe that one of the things that happens in the lives of prophets when they're getting started is they get anxious, they get a few words, they get a few unctions, and they want to run with it. But no, we need to stop and dig down real deep in that word and let God perfect the things in us. When you also look at this, now, on the flip side of that loyalty thing, disloyalty will be punished. It will be punished. And we have to, we have to accept that. We can't be doing things and saying things and acting a certain way and not think that God is not going to give you a smackdown. The Bible says that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And he scourges every son. I'm going to look that up right quick because I want that scripture. I want to quote that to you because, you know, a lot of people think that, well, just because I'm in God, he's not going to do anything to me and he's not going to whoop my butt. But yes, he does. And I'm going to give you that scripture. 1 second. Hebrews 12, verse 6. It says, for whom the Lord love, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receives. Wow. That's awesome. So, if you're doing something you don't have no business doing, you're going to get a scourging. In other words, you're going to get a beating. And let me tell you something. Discipline from God does not feel good because, you know, it's horrible. But if he didn't love you, he wouldn't do it. So I thank God for the scourging. I thank God for the chastening because he loves me. He loves you. And it says he scourges every son that he receives. Now, if you want to be received by God, just go on and take the whooping and keep it moving. You know, and so we have to also be, as a prophet, you have to be dependable. You have to be loyal. You have to be dependable. And dependability is something that, you know, as prophets, you cannot just sit up and, you know, make a vow, especially those of you that are in training. Those that are training you, they're spending time in prayer. They're spending time with you. They're training you up in the way that you should go according to the word of God to walk into that prophetic office. But many people don't want to go through the training because it gets too hot. It gets too deep. It gets, you know, too much. But go on through it. It'll be all right. Another thing that you have to be is you have to be accountable. No one is just accountable to themselves. You have to be accountable to somebody. No man is an island, you know, and you can't say, I got this, because no, we don't. We don't got this. We don't have this. God has it. God's got it. And so even in society, accountability is essential for any society to function. And in Christianity, we as leaders that are raising up the prophets, you need to be accountable to somebody. We're held accountable in one way or the other. You know, I have someone that I'm accountable to. If I'm going through something, hey, pick up the phone. Look, this is what's going on. Pray for me. You know, and I make myself accountable, because that way you tend to be more covered than just out there. And then if you don't have accountability, you can be out there doing all kind of stuff and nobody's checking you. Nobody's checking up on you to see how you're doing. And so it's important, especially when you are starting out in ministry, you have to be accountable to somebody. And let me tell you something, your leader may get on your nerve. Your leader may get on your nerve because it may seem like they don't want you to do nothing. They ain't letting you do nothing. Well, you know, while you're growing, while you're getting the accountability thing going, while you're getting your character intact, while you're getting your loyalty intact, where you're making sure that you're not a lying prophet, all those things are being groomed in you in order for you to walk in the office effectively that God has called you to. But if you get a word from somebody and you run with that word, you don't have you have no training, you have no depth of the word in your belly, you have no experience, you don't need to be out trying to teach nothing, because you got to have the depth of the word in you, and you have to have experience, or you don't need to be out trying to prophesy to the masses, so to speak. You know, I've seen how many young prophets get out there and they crash and burn because they're not accountable to nobody. They roll their neck and their eyes like they all that in a bag of chips, and they don't know anything. They're just happy to be out there. They're just happy to wear the title of prophet so-and-so or prophetess so-and-so. That's not, you know, that title is not, that title does not make you. The word of God is what makes you. And so we have to be accountable. Accountability is simply being responsible for your actions. And there are several accountability groups, you know, that help people to overcome addictions and all type of thing. And we need to have support in Christianity, in your calling as walking into the office of a prophet, as someone that you can be accountable to, with your life and with what you're doing in ministry and your training. You know, one of the things about accountability is that it's an essential element of trust. In order to establish accountability, you have to have trust. It needs to be trust there. One of the essential elements of accountability, again, is trust. And if that trust is broken, you don't want to be accountable to that person. And developing trust is a slow process. It takes time to develop and grow. That's why you can't have a mentor or someone that God has placed over you, and then when things don't go like you think they should go, I'm out of here. I'm going to get another mentor because they're not lining up with what I feel God is telling me. That's the wrong attitude. If God has put you in a place, again, that leader is not perfect. But if that leader is trying to the best of their ability to obey God and train you and do what God has called them to do in your life, you need to give them some slack, okay? Pray for them. Pray for them instead of talk about them. And how about that, right? So it takes time to develop, and it's a two-way street. It takes time for the leader to trust you, and it takes time for you to trust them. Because if you constantly are, every time you know something or the leader shares something with you, you run and go tell it, you're not building a relationship of accountability and trust. You're really damaging, because that will get back to that leader. What does the Bible say? Now, active listening is essential to developing trust. Jesus says in James 1:19, "My dear brother, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry." I could just stop right there. Quick to listen and slow to speak. That right there, when you're talking to the prophets and you're in training and you're learning, just because you think you know something, you don't need to say nothing. You need to sit there, be quiet, and be taught. Sit there, be quiet, be slow to speak, be quick to listen, and stop getting mad every time you can't have your way. It's like a baby beating a rattle on the floor when they see they bottling, they can't have it. We have to have a non-judgmental attitude as well. That's an essential element. Remember, we can be accepting of an individual by while being discerning of the situation. Matthew 7, 1 through 2 says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For the same way that you judge others, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you." So, one of the things that I've noticed with upcoming prophets and immature prophets, or prophets just that want their own way, they are quick to judge people. Don't give them no grace. Don't realize that, we're all human. We all live on the planet Earth. We all make mistakes. But we have to, we can judge righteously, yes, according to the word of God. But we have to be careful that we're not harsh and we're not judgmental of people. And, prophets can get self-righteous real quick. Well, you don't know who I am. I'm not going to go clean up a kitchen. I'm prophet so-and-so. That's for the peons. That's for the little pawns in the court. No, we're all servants of the Most High God. And we have to care for one another. 1 John 4:21 says, and he has given us this command: whosoever loves God also love his brother. Now think about this. How many times, prophet, upcoming prophet, have you said, "I can't stand them. Ooh, I just hate them." That is not the love of God. You may hate their actions, you may hate their ways, but we're not to hate anyone, and we need to rephrase that, huh? So accountability involves a willingness to open up yourself and share sensitive and personal information, not with everybody. Prophets, those that God has placed in your life, you have to be able to open up and share something with somebody. And sometimes if you don't, that stuff will eat you alive. You have to get it out, and God will give you a safe place to share and, just open up. And this is so important. And that's why trust is so imperative. If you sense trust, you're more open to share, things with people without the concern of betrayal, without the concern of every time I tell you something, you tell somebody and I don't know what to do with that. Well, you know what? Pray and ask God who you can be accountable to, and he will put someone in your life to train you. And so when you're looking at accountability, you have to be able to relate. Relating is an important factor in Christian accountability, because you have to be able to relate to people. You have to be able to relate prophetically to a person that's a prophet. So they get it. They understand where you are. They understand that you got growing pains and, some things going on. And God will help you to understand, what to do and what not to do. Another thing that I want to talk about concerning the accountability is you have to have biblical guidance. You have to have biblical guidance. I always go back to Psalms 1:1 when it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night." So he's getting counsel from wise people. It says, "Blessed, blessed is the man." So we have to make sure that we're getting biblical guidance. Now, don't get out here and go call Miss Cleo. And for those of you back in the day, you know who Miss Cleo was. She was that psychic that everybody was calling to get a word. Well, let me tell you something. If you call him a psychic to get a word and you call yourself a prophet, you in the wrong realm. And we're going to talk about realms of the spirit later, but you have to have biblical guidance from someone who is teaching the word of God. I need to clarify that because there's a whole bunch of word out there, but it ain't all the word of God. So we have to get, you have to get your teaching from the word of God. Romans 14:12 says, so then each of us shall give account of himself to God. And this is personal accountability. Christians are also accountable to one another, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we read that Christians were all a part of the same body, the body of Christ, and each member needs to belong to the other. So scripture suggests the importance of strong accountability between believers. Otherwise, we wouldn't be one body. My whole body is connected, and each member in my physical body is accountable to the, because if my brain is not acting right, ain't nothing in my body gonna act right. If my heart ain't acting right, believe me, ain't nothing in my body going to be acting right. So it's like your body is accountable to the other members. My body is, my heart is accountable to pump the blood to my toes and my hands and, you know, throughout my whole circulatory system. And likewise with the accountability, we have to be accountable to somebody so that we can keep it moving in the right direction. Amen. Now, Galatians 6:1-2 gives a helpful principle. It says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will find the law of Christ. So if your accountability friend has done something contrary to the Bible, you are called to confront them gently. I'm going to say that again. Gently, restore in love, gently. Because when, you know, as prophets, you know, young prophets, you're going to make mistakes. You're not going to get it right all the time. But the one thing that you have to do is when you make a mistake, go to your leader, go to the one that's mentoring and say, you know what, I messed up. You know, I got caught up in something and I'm like toe up. And God will help them to restore you gently if they have his heart. They'll comfort you, they'll forgive, and they'll help you get back to where you need to be. Amen. Nobody is above temptation. I want to put that out there. Nobody is above temptation. And you know what? Many people fall every day. But guess what? Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God. And we're going to talk about a couple of more things, and then we're going to wrap this session up. I know we went over a little bit, but that's okay, because this is, I really want to get all this in on this, in this session. Accountability, we're going to talk about personal action. You want to develop Christian accountability in your life, personal action. And that means begin by praying for God to reveal the person that you need to be connected to. Okay? You need to ask God, and you cannot be a lone ranger out here calling yourself a prophet. You can't be, you know, and I just want to put that out there. You cannot be a lone ranger in this thing, okay? It's important that you are accountable to someone, okay? And you have to be in accountability. You have to be patient. Developing an accountability friendship takes time and intentional effort, and it may not happen overnight, but you know what? It will happen. Amen. It will happen. So Ecclesiastes 4:9-10, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. Amen. Isn't that awesome? So if you fall, somebody will be able to help you up. And we're going to wrap this session up right here. I trust that it's been a blessing to you. If you need to contact me, you can reach me at AllisonJCross@gmail.com and send your questions. And I'd love to answer some of your questions over the air. So if you have questions or comments or want to send a shout out, I'd be happy to receive that. Just email me at AllisonJCross@gmail.com. That's AllisonJCross@gmail.com. God bless you, and we'll see you next time for our next session on The School of the Prophets, Part 1. God bless.